But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Have your Bible? Open it with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I began reading with verse 15. On our last session, we were there in verse 15. I would like to pick it up there, and we'll keep on going. As Peter has been writing to the sojourners scattered, the sojourners who are of the dispersed, back in verse 1, he's talking about people who, I believe, because of the context of the times, and because of persecution, have been scattered throughout these various provinces in the Roman Empire that he names here in verse 1 in chapter 1. And as we have gone through this chapter, we have seen some things that, quite frankly, need to be reemphasized in our lives today. The theme of the book, if you're joining us for the first time, hope in the midst of suffering. As I pointed out in our first session, there are seven words used in this little book, all of which are translated as suffering or some form of suffering. Seven words for suffering are used in this book. It's quite a variety considering the length of the book. Apparently there is some sort of persecution underway. As we pointed out, it's not as harsh as it's going to be or had been. This persecution does not seem to be much more than slander, trash talk, if you will, directed toward the Christians. Confiscation of property, imprisonment, martyrdom, those things will come later. But as he is writing here, you will notice that this is directed toward the spiritual condition of the believer. And while it may be written specifically to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, etc., it certainly applies to us too as well today. In verse 15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, assuming that you have, you entered into a relationship with God Almighty. The Holy Spirit was given to indwell you, and if you will, bear with the illustration, you were hardwired to God. The Holy Spirit of God indwelling you puts you in constant communication with God. In Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. And people kind of shrug and smile like, well, you know, that's a good idea, but who can do it? Well, my friend, it is possible, or it would not be in there. Pray without ceasing is an imperative voice, a command. Do it. It is possible to live in a state of awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be in a state of constant communication with God, to recognize it's not a matter that, well, now I'm going to go to God in prayer. He's right there. What do you mean you're going to go to God in prayer? There is no thought, there is no word in your tongue but what he knows it already. So what is this business about God is out there somewhere, and you're where you are? Now you will notice here, be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, was God's command to the Jews. And there are people say, oh, well, that's for the Jews, that's not for us. Well, wait a minute. Had it been left in that setting, you might have been able to get away with that. But you will notice it moved from the Old Testament to the New Testament intact. And it is written to Christians. Therefore, you cannot cut this loose and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. It does, my friend, most assuredly apply to you. Now, as I believe I pointed out on the last broadcast, there are certain things that seem to have fallen by the wayside in so far as the presentation of the Word of God is concerned among contemporary Christians. The idea of holiness is something that is politically incorrect. My goodness, that might be stifling. It might be restrictive. It might cramp my lifestyle. If I'm holy, will people still like me? And we are not talking here about how high you wear your hair piled up on top of your head, or whether or not you wear a necktie, or whether or not you wear jewelry or makeup, or whether or not you wear white socks. We're not talking about all these silly things that people point to as a mark of holiness. When we talk about holiness from a biblical standpoint, we're talking about this matter of, well, holiness by its very definition means absence of the taint of sin, to be without taint of sin. Now, folks, if that's a command, you recognize that that is a tall order. How in the world do you expect to meet that standard? I mean, it's not a matter of a church said, you ought to be holy. God said it. And now it's being repeated here by Peter, and he says, as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I direct your attention once again to the book of John, chapter 14, I believe, and it'll be about verse 20. And Jesus talking about the day when Christians will stand in the presence of God. He says, at that day ye shall know. The idea here is to know, to understand completely the workings of a thing. Ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You see, there is a relationship that is established with God at the new birth that is more than just, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning. It becomes more than the things you say and do. It's a matter of what you are. And what we are supposed to be is holy. Why? Because God is holy. And if you expect to have fellowship with Him, if you expect to have a close communion with Him, then friend, you've got to measure up. And in yourself, in ourselves, we can't do that. We depend upon the holiness of Christ that's been imputed to us. But there is this matter of experiential, day-to-day holiness, wherein the believer keeps his life pure, relying on the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to avoid sinful activity. It's a command. Now, you say, all right, preacher, are you holy? Well, anybody that looks you right square in the eye says, yes, I am, you better be careful of. Now, yes, if you ask me, are you holy? I can say, yes, I am, from the positional standpoint, that is, my position as God sees me is holy because I'm in Christ Jesus. But if you're talking about, do you wear a little halo? Don't you ever say anything? Don't you ever think anything? It's the least little bit wrong. Well, if I said no, then you'd call me a liar, and probably rightly so. Because so long as we're in the flesh, we're going to have problems with the old nature. But that doesn't change the command, nor does it change God's expectation of our obedience to that command. We may not arrive at a state of sinlessness that everybody would recognize and say, that person is truly holy. But my friend, that is the objective, that is the target. Be ye holy, for I am holy. To ignore that command is stupid. I'm sorry, there's no sense trying to whitewash it. If you've listened to me for any length of time, or if you had been under my ministry at church for any length of time, you would know that I am not given to being extremely tolerant of stupidity in trying to whitewash it and call it something else. Now, people do what people do based on what they know or don't know. And if a person is ignorant of what the Bible says, I can't very well scream at them and say, well, you're not doing right. But if I have taught them, if I have opened the Word of God with them and they see what the Bible says and they refuse to do that, well, now we're approaching the area that might rightly be called either obstinate or stupid. You see, it's not a matter, well, I say it so. What does the Bible say? It's interesting. Sometimes people make an arbitrary distinction between teaching and preaching. If you're not screaming and hollering, pounding the pulpit, making dramatic gestures, and having tremendous control of your inflection, then you're not preaching. My friend, I would rather, honestly, teach people. I would rather be known as a teacher of the Word of God than somebody who would write me off as he's a really fiery preacher. Oh, well and good. But you see, preaching comes and goes. Preachers come and go. I dare say that if you were put on the spot and you had to give the title or the subject or the text of your pastor's sermon two Sundays ago, you probably wouldn't remember it. If, on the other hand, he had been teaching you the Word of God and you had followed along and you believed it because it's what the Bible said, that's going to remain. Sermons, outlines, oh, they're all nice, well and good and helpful perhaps, but it's the Word of God that implements change in the heart of the believer. Now he says here, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." In verse 17, "If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons," that is, he is impartial, "who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Now, this word fear doesn't mean terror. It doesn't mean, oh my goodness, I'm scared to death, what's going to happen next? But the idea of reverential fear toward God, a respect directed toward God. "If ye call on the Father," now you will notice if you're following along in the Bible, that Father is followed by a comma, and as you read down through there, "according to every man's work," comma, okay? What we're looking at here is a parenthetical statement. You can lift it out, and the sentence will still make sense. I'm not saying you should throw it away, but I'm saying it will still make sense. If you get bogged down in the parenthetical statement, you lose track of what he's saying, well, you need to go back and look at it. "If ye call on the Father," now I'm going to drop this out. "If ye call on the Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Okay? Now, the parenthetical statement adds meat to the bones of what's being said. The Father, you know, he's the one who, without respect of person, judges according to every man's work. That one, that Father. Now, you see, if you got hung up on that, then you didn't get the connection between the idea, if you call on the Father, in other words, if you are a God-fearing believer, if you call yourself a child of God, then past the time of your sojourning here, that is, in this life, you spend your life in this devotional respect for God. "For as much as ye know," notice the word know. In the Greek, it's a very strong word, to know beyond any question, to know with all assurance. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." And it goes on. Notice once again in verse 18, we have another one of these parenthetical statements that kind of clutter, I don't like that, it complicates it. We're going to come back to this and simplify it to the point where you can see it and it makes sense, and then we'll put it all back together again. That's it for this session today. I hope you'll join me next time, have a Bible close at hand, and we'll study together to see what the Bible says.